Welcome to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, intended to equip and encourage business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. Taught by active business owner, best-selling author, and teacher, Sean Castrina.
Excited about today's podcast. Just thoroughly enjoy the privilege of equipping and encouraging entrepreneurs. So glad you're listening. Today, we're talking about be the customer. Be the customer. I love this quote. And I would mess up her name. It's Melina Glimbofsky, and I've crushed it, I know. But I love the quote, so it doesn't matter. Be your own best customer. Live your customer's lifestyle. I love that. Be your own best customer. What I want us to focus on is reverse engineering your business. So what people typically do is they come up with a product and or service that they absolutely love, and then they go try to sell it to somebody. And I'm saying let's kind of do it the opposite. Let's take you out of the equation kind of as the owner and start as the customer. So we're going to kind of do this inside out. So let's think about you as the customer in every decision-making process. In the businesses that I started, I was the customer in that it was a service I couldn't get done, so I started the company. So I was able, even from the beginning when I established kind of our core value proposition, what we were going to give, I said, number one, when you called us, you would speak with a live, knowledgeable person. Now think about that. I went into it as the customer. And what I realized people didn't want is to get a voicemail, to get a phone service. And number three is, somebody who just didn't know anything, couldn't answer any questions. You just hire somebody yes, I'll have somebody get back with you. And it's just let you feel like it was a worthless call. So one of my core principles is that you would speak with someone knowledgeable. Number two is that we would send somebody to give you a free estimate. And this person, again, would be knowledgeable, minimum of 10 years experience. Okay, and you would get a written estimate immediately. So that was important because I knew as a customer, what I didn't like is don't send me a salesman, okay, that really doesn't know anything about the problem I'm having. They're just trying to always sell me something. I want a knowledgeable person. I want to get an estimate, immediately within 24 hours. I don't want to be calling you a week later to ask you where my estimate is. So that was critical. That was another one of our thinking going from a customer approach. Number three is that when we started your job, because within construction and remodeling and any home service, it seems like, where it lasts more than a day, people do not show up when they're supposed to and they don't finish. I don't understand it because, as we all know, the easiest way to get from point A to point B is a straight line. So I always thought if you started in the morning and you stayed there 8 hours and you came back the next day, you probably had a chance of finishing it. But that is not very popular in construction. But again, I didn't have a construction background. I started it based on being a customer. So in my effort to be a customer, I thought, hey, listen, we were going to send employees, not subcontractors. That was the other thing I left out, is that basically subcontractors are going to try to take shortcuts because you're paying them as little as you can. That's how you hire them. And it just seemed to be a conflict to me. So I'm going to send employees to your home to do the work, and they're going to stay there till they were completed. And our fourth pillar of working back from me being the customer and going back over the experiences I had that I thought were awful is that we would survey you at the end and make sure that we met your expectations. So there was kind of our customer-centric approach. Well, that's maybe millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars with that. And we've added divisions and it's just grown because we just kept, lather, rinse, repeat. That's what we did. I started another business, actually even before this. It was an advertising piece. It was a direct mail magazine. So just kind of picture a direct mail magazine with coupons in it. And I approached it from a customer standpoint, but in a unique way. I approached it as somebody who would be receiving it in the mail, and then as well as a business owner, because I own a business and I knew what I would want. I'm going to go through what I did that was unique, and I want you to pick up on it. And what I love about this is 20 years later, the magazine still exists. The person I sold it to is still doing it. It shows it was a durable concept. But why was it so durable? Well, let's just talk about the physical magazine. It was 8.5 by 11, and I didn't use that thin, cheap paper. It was heavy, high gloss paper, okay? Second, this is critical. We put kids on the cover, typically from age 9 and down. Why? Because typically females get the mail. Golly day, I'm probably going to get a text service, or males. It doesn't really matter. But when you get the mail, you're not likely to throw away something that has a cute kid on the cover. Okay? They're not. But now if you get it out of the mail, it's got a big pizza pie on the front, or, you know, Joey's Automotive Shop, it's not so appealing. But when you have a cute kid in a seasonal photo, you're like, oh, I think they, you know, isn't that the one from Susie's class? But people don't throw it away. It gives it shelf life. So I made a decision from the beginning that we were not going to put products on the cover. It had to have kids in it. Now, you could intertwine it, but we weren't going to put a coupon on the front. So if you were Joe's Auto Body, that's fine. If you want to put, you know, your kid sitting on the front of a car, that we'll go with that. But again, that was a key component. Next, which was very important in the way that we did it, is that we did not just do redundant ads. You know, we tried to lay it out in like a kind of a formula. So we had a home section. So when you went through it, you had your home section and you had your auto section. It had kind of a format to it. It just wasn't, you know, just a big buffet, what I call 2 pounds of slop. So when the consumer got it, it was, you know, again, attractive cover laid out in a good way. So I approached it from the customer. Secondly, now as a person who buys advertising, again, I own a home service company, I was thinking about what I would buy as a customer buying advertising. Well, this is what I wanted. I did not want it to go to apartments. Boy, I'm probably gonna get a bunch of, you know, emails on that. Well, what I looked at is most people that would be living in apartments would not want to buy home service products because they're renters. So I figured if I had a limited mailer, I would try to do that to homes that were obviously, you know, homes, not apartments. There you go. Got that out of the way. And that was very appealing to, you know, the owners that I approached, because a very large portion of the magazine was home services because they're so endless. The next thing is I would not have competing ads. So, which is very hard to do, but I allowed like Domino's to buy the pizza delivery section. Now they had to buy more than one ad space, so it had to be a certain size, but so by doing that, they didn't have to have Papa John's next to them. And where else could they advertise where they could be the only pizza delivery? I only had one oil change person in there. Now I made him buy multiple ads, but you could have no competition. I thought that was a huge competitive advantage because I went about this from a customer standpoint. Well, it was a home run. 20 years later, it's still doing well because I started it from a customer centric approach. I reverse engineered the product and the services from what the customer would want. And I think you'd be wise to do the same thing. So this is let's look at how this would work if you start as a customer. Well, does this fill a need? I'm a customer, you know, does this fill my need? Does this solve my problem? Does this satisfy a desire I have? Is it high quality? I'm a customer. Do I think it's junk or do I think it's really good quality? That's why I put that heavy paper. I could have done the newsprint, the real thin paper, which is very common in direct mail. If you've ever gotten it, it's just so cheap. It's like toilet paper. I could have done a direct mailer where the pages just kind of slip in and then when you get it, it all falls apart. But no, ours was bound. Our coupons were actually perforated. That costs a lot more money. I wanted to think like the customer would. So is it high quality? Is the price reflective of what I'm getting? People know when people have no problem paying for something that's worth it. Again, I've always said there can only be one lowest price person in town, and I've never gone that route. But does the pricing reflect what I'm getting? Does it have multiple uses? Okay? Does it have multiple uses? That's thinking like a customer. Have you overcome my skepticism? I'm the customer. Why wouldn't I buy this? Why wouldn't I believe you? Overcome my skepticism. I can keep going on and on, but as you start your business or if you want to improve your business, stop thinking like the owner for a while. Start thinking like the customer. Run all your decisions through the lens of a customer, and I guarantee you, your business will only improve with this. The customer experience, the lens of the customer, that needs to guide you. So today, we talked about being the customer, and we're going to reverse engineer it from the customer's point of view. I do hope this podcast helped you. If it didn't, I don't know what to tell you. but I think it did. I want to thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you enjoyed it, please like it, subscribe to it, share it with a friend. If you have any questions, please email me at sean@seancastrina.com. DM me on Instagram at sean.castrina. My third and next book is going to come out March 1st. It's going to be fantastic, Developing the Entrepreneur Within. Again, thank you for listening to today's podcast.